Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello, hello everybody. Welcome to another reality show. I am indeed Golden Hawk. Yay! And I am very, very excited for tonight's show. I have an enchanting, enchanting person who has, oh my goodness, so much to share. And I just want to give a brief introduction of, I was introduced to Dr. Jeanette Wolf through a Facebook page titled I Am Not Sam, which is a brilliant compilation of personal insights into a relationship she's having with her son, who is a sensitive, gifted being. And from my own perspective, being in love with somebody with Asperger's, I totally relate. And from there, I've been exploring Dr. Wolf's work, and she's just brilliant. This is her first time on another reality show. I can't wait to sit down with my tea and listen and learn about this amazing person, because she feels to me like when all the shaking is done on the planet and all the dark stuff, you know, kind of collapses, she'll still be standing. So please help me welcome the warm and the wonderful Dr. Jeanette Wolf to the show. Welcome to the show, Dr. Wolf.
Thank you so much, Golden Hawk. It's such a pleasure and such an honor to find a kindred spirit like you, and I appreciate being able to share. So
wonderful.
Yes.
And is it all right to call you Jeanette?
Oh, please. I am definitely just Jeanette. Simply,
okay.
Jeanette is usually how I sign my letters.
Simply Jeanette? Is that how you
say it? Simply Jeanette, yes.
Yes. Isn't simplicity is a beautiful thing? They say complexity can explain a lot, but when you get to simplicity, the definition has been found. So
yeah,
I respect that.
That pretty much embodies how I try to share what I notice.
Yeah, huh? And boy, you do notice a lot. You have several projects and, you know, exquisite sharings on Facebook and web pages, and I thought, you know, a good way to begin this whole process of, you know, truly getting to know you, which is my intention, I was hoping you could kind of start from, you know, childhood, but, you know, into recent, to how you become, you know, a person who's really shepherding and caretaking, you know, modalities of healing, a gifted son, you know, all of it.
Sure. Thank you.
Sure.
Well, I love sharing stories. I am actually the child of two parents who were storytellers. We never really spent a lot of time on the TV. My fondest memories were in our kitchen in upstate New York, and we had this fabulous round oak table, and it had these gorgeous clawed feet. And even now, in those moments where I just need to ground, that's where I picture myself. So both of my parents were very connected to the earth, and both of them were what I would call energetically sensitive people. And my dad was a survivor of World War II, and my mom lived through the thick of it, and they came to the United States, where they started completely fresh, and we lived in New York City until I was 11, and then we transplanted to upstate New York in the Adirondacks, and we returned essentially to the land. And I had no idea at that point how absolutely vital that that imprinting was to everything that I would share. What my parents noticed about nature, about the seasons and how we felt according to those seasons and how to prepare from one season to the next, wasn't just information. It was very much the energetic aspect of giving us permission to notice how we feel. Mm-hmm. And that's really the crux of what I share now with anyone that comes to seek me out. That's usually the first question that I ask. Have you given yourself permission to notice how you feel?
That's awesome.
You know, pretty much from the moment that we're on the planet, we're told to not trust our sensory self.
Mm.
And, you know, we tell our little ones not to cry because it makes us uncomfortable. We think we're doing something wrong if the kids are crying. And especially little boys, right? We say, buck up, it's not so bad, be tough, stiff upper lip. All of those funky colloquialisms. And my parents gave us permission to notice how we feel. And the other greatest gift they gave me was when I did go out into the world to off to school, or out socially, they'd say, you know, we trust that you have the tools to make the best possible decisions for you. So that place of instilling trust in myself is really the basis for everything that I try to share as we bring people back to that aspect of trusting themselves, trusting the choices that they make in terms of their emotions, their mental selves, their choices, and their physicality. Mm. So with that, I was always sort of the go-to girl, and I didn't really understand why in my early years. I didn't really understand why I would cry when I walked into church, and I would feel everyone's emotional dumping, so to speak. Mm. It finally occurred to me in later years why I could feel in a minute when I heard someone's name and birthday why they were feeling the way that they felt. And I think that you and I and a lot of folks from our generation are sort of the canaries in the cave, the ones who were sort of sent out to see what it's like to be energetically sensitive and then try to support these new human kids that are coming in that are energetically so much more advanced.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I agree with that.
So as I started to notice myself, my responses, my reactions, the most interesting piece was that I always felt a little bit separate because I did see energy, emotions around other people, around friends. I always felt like I kind of had to tuck myself away because if I actually showed who I was, no one would get it. If someone had a headache, I would get a headache. If someone had a stomach ache, I would get a stomach ache.
Yeah.
If someone was sad, and so on. So there was always a little bit of staying separate. And the other part of it was that I ended up being a really remarkable student because the night before an exam, I would dream the exam. And in the morning I would ask myself, you know, am I prepared to get a perfect grade? And I was always kind of compulsive around that piece, but I would know which page to go to before I would go to school.
Wow.
So that I would have perfect answers. So I actually graduated. I left high school upstate when I was 15, went to community college for a year, and then headed off to New York City when I was 16, and still not completely understanding this extreme sensitivity.
Mm.
But it was there, and it was a gift. And my life has just been really remarkable in presenting teachers to me. So that at that point, when I was going to school in New York, I decided that I really wanted to be a designer, and my father convinced me that that might not be the most practical, so I decided to study textile technology. And, you know, I have always felt blessed because my mind is very quick. And I feel a really remarkable balance in terms of being able to retain information but also be able to still access intuition. So I did well in school as well, in at college, and I studied my technology, and then I started to, you know, it was Manhattan and it was the 80s and it was really the beginning of sort of the whole new age crystal piece, and I actually approached a fairly well-known numerologist, Kevin Quinn Avery, at the time, because numbers, as soon as I heard birthdays, names, I would get series of numbers in my brain. And so I contacted him and I said, okay, tell me about me. And he sent back a report, actually a recording. I was so upset about, because he was so absolute that nothing could change with numbers, and I recall calling him up and telling him that I appreciated his insights but that I begged to differ. And he called me back and he said, no one has challenged me like that, and do you want to study with me?
Oh, nice. Well, you got to give him credit for that, right? At least he saw the you know, the strength within that challenge, as opposed to just the ego going, don't challenge me. So right.
Yes, yeah. And we ended up actually doing some really, really amazing work together for almost 2 years, perhaps. And at that point, also, I had gotten a wonderful consulting position in the textile industry, and I was going back and forth to Dallas, where he lived at the time. And it was the basis for my beginning to trust that piece, when I would see things beyond the third dimension, when I would receive the information through numbers and letters and sounds and patterns, and I wouldn't go, okay, shut it off, Jeanette, what was that?
Right.
So it was a deeper sense of self, and not that place of completely running away from the information. And then, of course, with that training, with that informational part of making sense of what I felt, it was empowering, and I could apply it to more and more. So I would apply it to my work, and you know, at 16, 17, if you're running around the country as a consultant telling companies and corporations and you know, essentially really grown-ups, double your age, how and what to do, you really needed to be empowered. And I was always a little precocious with that, and the only thing that I trusted about myself was my mind. So the information that came in just kept bringing me to more opportunities within the industry that I was working, which was design and textiles.
Okay.
But also then to other teachers. The next teacher presented when I went to a trade show in Germany, and I would have never gotten there had I not been in textiles, but the teacher ended up being someone who taught me about space, feng shui and ergonomics. And essentially I walked into a cocktail party, and after hours gathering, and this gentleman walked up to me and said, I've been waiting for you. And I said, oh, how nice, because you know, at 16, you know, you were kind of target.
Yeah.
And they're like, no. And they proceeded to tell me all of these things about myself. And I remember just being in awe of the fact that someone would be able to look at me and share all of that. And again, that started the next sort of long distance teaching tutoring piece, where I really started to understand how to read space and how to harness energy and pour it into a space and shift that space. And it was really an expansion of what I learned at home, that piece of honoring cardinal directions, of honoring solar and lunar cycles and how and why we humans and creatures respond to a space the way that we do.
Mm.
And it really just built from there.
Well, you have had, God, and you're only 16 at this point.
Yeah, 16, 17 at that point.
Right. You've lived the life, and you haven't even hit 20. That's pretty remarkable. But it is certainly clearing up why there's so much to you, in the sense of, your capacity to embody and to learn and to grow and to apply. Because I would almost say that you have, you are some sort of, you're gifted as well. The first thing that came to my mind was the TV show Touch. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
Mm-hmm. I've heard about it. I haven't watched it. My son, as soon as he saw the commercial for it, said, "That's not the way that it happens."
Oh,
but
okay.
A whole other story.
Yeah,
I think at the beginning it brought us a really wonderful message, and it's important that information like touch, and like our experiences comes to a broader audience.
Yes.
So that we're not looked at as, and I've had this happen to me over the years. I've lost friends, or what I thought were friends, because they would say to me, let me back up a little bit. Often, as I started to get more immersed in understanding energy, and part of why I studied naturopathy was because I would literally drop into the symptoms and the experiences of what made other people ill or in their dis-ease. And folks would say to me, "Wow, how can you be that sick, for a week or two and then be absolutely fine 2-3 weeks later?"
Mm.
And I think that piece of, the mind cannot always, in the third dimension, comprehend. I don't think we have a reference point necessarily to make sense of something that can't be described in words or that is not the typical. We cannot try to rationalize or make it something.
Right.
So,
right.
Shows like Touch and like what we're talking about and like what I Am Not Sam is about is bringing alternative information into a format where people can go, "Oh, yes, I have a choice." It doesn't always have to be according to FAQs, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And it really is about trusting the feelings, the sensations, the essence of our lives has so much wisdom inherent in it. Even if it can't be spoken about, connecting to that part of ourselves, in my humble opinion, is what is, ultimately needed to heal everything. We need to connect with Mother Earth. We need to connect with our own essence. Because, the way I see life is it's the result of the disconnect. And, it's mm-hmm. only the concrete. It's, Eckhart Tolle put it best. He goes, the minute you rely on language, to be your interpretation of life, you're missing the essence.
Absolutely.
So, and a balance. I'm not saying we should all, walk around and not speak to each other, even though I would assume at some point in enlightened society, that's really what it is.
I really think that you're onto something there because from two angles. When I speak corporately, I actually do a presentation that I call sensory seduction.
Oh, nice.
And what's really fun about that, of course, is the word seduction. Corporately, everyone's like, "Oh my God,
yeah.
Look at this woman! What is she going to be talking about?" So that gets their attention, and that's actually really, really fun. But what I begin with is, what is communication?
Right.
Because we all think that communication is somehow the word, and the reality is that communication is an act or an instance of transmitting.
Mm.
And while it can be verbal or written, there's so much more. There is that piece, like you and I experience, that sort of instant camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
Communication is also pheromones, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's that very subtle recognizing of chemistry and essence. And it's a process by which information is exchanged through symbols, signs, and behavior.
Mm.
And then, of course, in space, it goes even far beyond that. It goes into speech, symbol, sound, color, scent. So it's the technology of the transmission of information.
Right on.
And we don't pay attention to the fact that words actually make things smaller, that we don't always have the words to express. You know, a facial expression can absolutely annihilate you, even if the words are "I love you."
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
And then we have the limbic perceptions, right? The scent, the placement, that sixth sense tension, right? The saying, we all know what that feels like when you walk into a room there where there's been an argument, right? You can cut the tension with a knife.
Absolutely.
How powerful is that communication?
Yeah.
And then, of course, tone and cadence and pitch, speed of delivery, music. How healing is that?
Yeah.
And how quickly can we be absolutely neurologically taken apart by electromagnetic frequencies?
Exactly. Exactly.
So those are the things that you know, I dilute from corporate communications and corporate awareness. And then, you know, when I work with kids, sorry.
No, you don't have to be sorry. Take your time.
When I sit with young people, it's just so magical because they don't need anything that you and I just shared in words to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's never really a damaged child.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that we have these expectations and rules and definitions. And when our children are bombarded with the words and the facial expressions and the tension and the energy and the essence of parents and caregivers and teachers and other kids that think they're somehow off, of course they will act out and be more different. So that place of really dropping into understanding the sensory self, and that communication is so much greater than any word could ever be. That's really where the greatest work is, and the reprogramming of the mental mind and giving ourselves permission to no longer need to know why. You know, everyone wants to quantify, prove, and I really believe that at this point, energetically, cosmically on this planet, we really are in a position where we can abandon reasoning and give ourselves permission to drop into, how do I really feel? Do I like myself when I'm doing this? Do I feel good when I'm doing this? And it takes us out of that place of having to argue or defend, to need to be right. There's no need to be right when you're feeling good, and there's no need to convince. And when we can drop into that place, it's so freeing, and we drop into ease. And that's the greatest shifts that I see when I work with patients that come to me that have dis-ease, when they say, this is what has been defined as what's wrong with my body. And that's when we can start to unwind that disease wherever it sits in the physical body. And I watch miracles every day as the emotional and the mental bodies relax, and we're able to move into really aligning with our physicality, not fixing it. Does that make sense?
It does. It does, especially, you know, all the talk of the ascension. Like, I would say, well, I often use numbers, but in all honesty, I have no idea. I'm just using numbers in my own feeling. I have no clue the statistical truth behind them. But I would say 80% of, you know, the messages about ascension, they're all talking about leaving the body. And
I inherently know
that's incorrect. It's an ascension process. It is, you know, it's about bringing our souls into the physical, you know, and creating
mastering, integrating into the physical. Yeah,
exactly. And that doesn't happen by leaving. That happens by going within, which is, in my humble opinion, it's the last frontier. The last frontier is not outer space, but inner space.
Inner space.
Yeah.
And you know, Goldie, the thing is that every dogma has brought us that piece of go up and out to God,
exactly.
Go up and out of your body, leave your body, leave that you know, that form that is so icky and gross and we're not supposed to enjoy.
Yep.
And the reality, it is really quite the reverse. It is about bringing heaven to earth.
Yes.
It's about allowing our essence to drop completely into the first, second, and third chakras, and into the earth star, and to really be able to not just digest our life experience, but really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you look at, especially, you know, Western society, one of the greatest killers, diseases, is digestive disease.
Mm.
And it's that place where we're really unable to completely digest our life experiences, and that brings inability to digest our food, and so we have gut related issues, and we're allergic to our foods. We can't nurture ourselves because we don't trust the body, we don't trust the physicality, and you know, we have the gut experience where our anxiety and our lack of empowerment and that place of being controlled as the masses really moves into inhibitions and the inability to move forward. So really now, historically, we're at that place where it is about embodying our full light essence into all that we are and remembering ourselves.
Exactly.
Right? We've spent most of our lives forgetting our true essence. And every once in a while, we have a little bleed through and the veil lifts. But when we're still and we can start to notice without our mind, when we really just feel from our heart and our sensory self, that's when the miracles happen. And miracles do happen every day. You know, miracles are those things that happen that we are told are impossible, but happen.
Well, and I think we're told they're impossible because that's also part of the control. Because, you know, I think, in my humble opinion, from my perspective, a miracle is really just a science yet to be understood. Because miracles are not, you know, because another thing about miracles is people often, you know, I see it a lot, you know, through my own relationships with friends and on Facebook, and they're always giving their power away, you know. In other words, you know, someone's going to grant me the miracle, and I'm like, don't wait for something outside of you to give you the miracle. The miracle is in being at peace with self, being in your body, you know, being connected with nature. This is the miracle. Is so easy because it really is the simplicity of just being authentically self. You know, what brings you happiness? Even though it's so funny because, you know, I tell people all the time as I experience my own journey,
my truth shifts as my awareness of what truth is, you know.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Right? Because there was a time when I first awoke, and all I wanted was, just hand me the good stuff. You know, I was a love and lighter. You know, I just want to know everything's beautiful. Because, you know, I grew up, I'm a sensitive, I mean, I'm not autistic, but I put people in autism as, who knows how to, I don't think science or doctors per se have really, they don't know how to define us. So
yeah.
ADD, bipolar, you know, it's all really a mishmash of essentially beings that are here with more sensitivity than the average person, mm-hmm. and then going through a life where initially the sensitivity is incredibly painful. And, you know, so yeah. See, where you were blossoming in your teens, I was shutting down, doing cocaine, and leaving, you know, the premise of being in this world. I just wanted to be in the world and feel nothing.
Right.
And as I come out of it, first I was all about love and light, and then it was like, you know, I'm really now about, no, I want truth. You know, and only because the years that I focused on love and light kind of got me strong enough that I could handle, you know, looking behind the curtain to start really having an understanding of the type of control that is taking place. You know, so
and what a powerful bunch of information you gathered, and how essential that all was
exactly
to exactly what you do right now.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, I'm fascinated, you know, with your story and who you are, because you see things, and like Carolyn Mace sees energy.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been one that my two clairs, so to speak, the strong ones are sentient,
mm-hmm.
and which is knowing, correct?
Knowing. Mm-hmm.
And then feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So I've never been able to, you know, I can't hear it. It doesn't per se come through, you know, as a vocal or a verbal, even though I clearly get, I'm learning to kind of make all the clairs work together, as, you know, it's not about separating anything. It's just, you know, speaking a truth, and then it's like, you know, like I'll say things on the air, and people will go, you know, later they'll post, you asked the question I was thinking, and it's like, oh, that's great. I'm glad to do that. You know, because I think part of it is, and that we you know, everything gets so separated, and I'm curious what your feeling is on this. Like, you know, we're in 2013. We've made it, you know, quote unquote, past the end of the Mayan calendar. Even though, my humble opinion, it ends on a equinox. On an equinox, not on a solstice,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which would be, you know, meaning it is yet to actually come to conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
But and we're clearly aligned within the galactic center, and we're kind of going off topic, which is, if it's okay with you,
no,
just like,
cool, sure.
Okay, good. What are your feelings right now, from especially with the gift that you see things, you know, from your perspective, where the solar system is right now? What are the effects?
We're in the space in between.
well, exactly. Yeah.
And I think that piece where, you know, in this third dimension where we have all of these rules and pieces of information and the facts of wanting to know, you know, we were expecting the date, or a vast majority of the population was waiting to get bopped on the head with, ta-da, you
exactly.
have arrived, you have ascended, bum-bum-bum-bum. And, yeah, well, it's not how it works.
Right.
So I do believe that we are in flux, as I sit with all different parts of the population, and I watch how I feel, how my patients feel, what my son is going through, what the other young people are. There's definitely that aspect of we have our feet in both worlds, mm-hmm. and there are the final pieces of what makes us incredibly uncomfortable coming to the surface.
Yes.
so that we can really scoop it off and look at it. But we have to look at it. We have to be willing to be comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Right on. Yes.
And with that, also the realization that as we are operating in multiple dimensions now, that place of feeling comfortable and not afraid in accessing those places that we don't have reference points for.
Right.
You know, I personally am experiencing a lot of bleed through where it's like, oh, am I really here? Am I not here? I was actually speaking with some really remarkable women today about that aspect of almost being invisible. And,
yeah.
You know, like people almost walking right through you because are we here, are we not here?
Yeah.
You know, is there really time and space, is there not? And the shifts in the physicality continuing, that place of, you know, our personal rhythms being altered. I think there's a lot of stuff going on right now in terms of circulation and the heart and the gut and digestion, and I do believe that as we, and I'm not an astrologer at all, but as we move through the next 3 to 4 weeks and closer to the equinox and beyond the retrograde that's coming up,
okay.
There will be a deeper sense of comfort. And this place of feeling so uncomfortable and unsettled and like 1 minute being okay, 1 minute not feeling okay,
exactly.
Is really essential. And I think that right now in this space in between is we need to play with it. We need to feel comfortable with it.
Mm.
We need to allow ourselves to just kind of float where we are.
Mm.
To not let our ego into that place of trying to define things.
Agreed. Totally. Yes.
Of you know, trying to quantify it or beat ourselves up for not knowing.
Right.
I think that's the hardest part too, you know, because we're all, it's like, well, what are we going to do next week? What are we going to do tomorrow? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I don't think that any of those things really work right now.
I agree. I mean, we really are in just such a pronounced state of now,
mm-hmm.
You know, because planning, you know, if you're anywhere, you know, in, you know, I would say like 20 and above from an age bracket,
mm-hmm.
you really get that, you know, planning is just such a joke. I mean, me and all my friends laugh because, you know, you want to get together, and it ultimately is, well, just call me the day you want to get together because I can't, you know, and I plan shows, but I try to plan them, you know, I no longer plan 3 months in advance or because it's such a, you know, for me, it's really about, you know, it's time for me to embrace the unknown, not from a fearful state, but from a curious state.
Right.
You know, because it's prevalent. It's here. It's the nature. We've got to be fluid because it's the only way, well, for me anyways, it's the only way to not be in a constant state of, you know, just sheer terror.
Yeah, and I agree. And you see, isn't it wonderful that you're giving yourself permission to drop into just allowing yourself to be content with
mm-hmm.
whatever?
Exactly.
You know, I used to laugh when, in the 80s, when we had the Valley Girl thing, and, you know, they would say, whatever.
Right?
And we thought that was like a diss, that it was somehow disrespectful.
Mm.
But the reality is, if we can really drop into whatever,
mm.
and into just being and just allowing and to be right here, right now, how do I feel?
Yeah.
And not giving away to all of the programming and the information of what someone else thinks is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And of course we're still all operating in 3D and, you know, we're supposed to get up and do blah, blah, blah. But when we are able to, during these times where things are uncertain and where we're really cosmically playing in this void, most people give in to fear, right? And that's ego's fear of emptiness.
Mm.
But we now have the option to change that fear in a nanosecond into this this sort of wonderful creativity, and to play with what we notice, and allow ourselves to be still.
Yeah.
You know, we run around in this world where it's always about how much do we produce, our value based on that.
Absolutely.
And really just that space in between that we're in right now, to notice what we would actually like to create instead of going on the adrenaline and the hamster wheel of getting stuff done. That's when we can actually drop into, all right, what would I choose to create? And we allow that creator self to come in. And if you watch little kids, really the kids are here to show us all of this.
Absolutely.
Playing is so creative.
Yeah.
And daydreaming.
Yeah.
And imagining, right? Imagine in. Dream into your reality, the new foundation on your new perception of life.
Yeah.
That's the most remarkable thing about where we're playing right now. And, you know, we just had the Lunar New Year. What a powerful time. I celebrate the Lunar New Year, not the calendar New Year.
Okay.
Because we shift energetically. Every cell in our body resonates with the Lunar New Year. The calendar New Year is made up. That's just for the sake of controlling
it. It's a Roman calendar, yes. Yes.
And if you really look at you know, Judaism, almost every ancient religion honors the lunar cycles. So
okay.
We just had the Lunar New Year. And
okay.
And to harness that space in between, you know, the darkest, shortest space, stepping into the newness and go, what would I choose to create? How do I give myself permission to be still long enough to notice what I am leaving behind, appreciating all of those remarkable lessons, however uncomfortable they were, thanking the information that made us uncomfortable because it was valuable information about how we don't want to feel, and then stepping forward. But really, again, that place of not discarding our own beliefs in favor of embracing what other people have told us is supposed to be the truth. There is no supposed to be. And that's the place where I think universally, economically, environmentally, we're really finally integrating that aspect of, wow, the old ways aren't working. Look at how uncomfortable, look at how that we bought into something that was never true to begin with. And let's take the time now in this space in between to consciously create, to realize that we have a choice, to really affirm and focus our internal resources, our intellect, our intuition, our unconscious drives, our physical energy, on any creation we choose to create for ourselves. And we focus, and we can consciously embrace, I am. I am, I have, I embrace. Not I need and I want and I wish. I am, I have, I embrace. And that's where the answers are. And when we can embrace, we embody it.
Yeah.
You know, they always used to say, don't count your chickens before they hatch.
Okay.
Count your chickens before they hatch.
Yeah, huh.
I firmly have witnessed that creation of the energetic framework of what we choose to draw to ourselves from the outside world to consciously create our new realities in a way that we love our lives, that enhances our lives. And then the universe hears the message. You know, every day there's remarkable synchronicity if we give ourselves permission to be still enough to notice.
Yeah, awareness definitely seems to be, for myself anyways, it's a key, it's unlocking wisdom
that I don't even have a grasp on yet, other than the awareness to see that the interconnection between my thoughts, my actions, my emotions, and my experiences. And then, of course, you know, the organic timing of everything, because God bless the timing of everything. You know, I've been on a timeline, but in all honesty, my timeline never, you know, my timeline really equates to learn to be patient, Goldie. That is my timeline. And when the organic shows me, you know, brings me the divinity in ways that I'm like, you know, my jaw is just wide open going, look at that, like, you know, where, you know, it just fits so perfectly. Everybody wins, and, you know, there's a beautiful dance to it. It's like, wow, I truly could not have, I could not have created that from the mind. Because for me, I'm learning to let go of my mind is a beautiful tool to get my body where it needs to be. Mm-hmm. And I would love it if you would talk about this, because it's really the heart. And for me, actually, my cells, there is wisdom in my cells that are so much more, where every cell has the capacity to see, to hear, to smell. You know, we're, you know, so conditioned to do the work from our head, when in actuality, it's time to drop it into the body. You know, I mean, the heart being an absolute, you know, starting place, but don't stop there. Cellular wisdom seems, you know, where I have this vision that every footstep, you know, like the cartoon, you lift your foot and flowers grow.
I agree, though. And, you know, it's so cute because that's the kids that I work with, they say that. They're like, you know what? It's like after you leave, everything is good and everything smells rosy.
Mm.
And we can do that when we drop into that heart space of, I love you, I accept you.
Mm.
Right? It's not, I love you, but.
Yeah,
that completely
totally.
Negates
yeah.
I love.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
I love you, I accept you. And I accept you if you're really annoyed right now and tantrumy and tired and sticky and stinky and making me feel crazy. We might not love someone's actions, but that does not negate love.
I agree.
And I think, that's not I think, it's important to realize that we can't resolve others' duality, and their experience is their experience. And the way that we really participate in birthing this new earth, our personal experience within this new paradigm, is really, as you said a few minutes ago, resolving everything within ourselves.
Absolutely.
Creating true peace. And really drawing closer to our heart listening and to the body and the inner sense of things as the ultimate authority. The heart is the ultimate authority. And as we do that, as we give ourselves permission to feel what we feel, and give ourselves permission to step away from what does not feel good, what is us mirrored in the world alters the world from within us. And so the conflict, the fear, the hurt, the distrust, the separation, all of those distorted aspects that are made manifest in the world disappear and change because they reflect what we've created inside of ourselves.
Exactly.
And we don't always have a third dimensional reference point for that. And when you say your cells have memory and knowing, that's the piece where these times offer us so much more than ever before in terms of that potential and possibility to really explore letting go of our ancestral baggage, to really look at what vibrational medicine can do for us. You know, it's so fascinating to watch the transformation taking place within the cellular memory of all of us, and how truly the past doesn't matter anymore.
Right.
It's really about right here, right now, what do you choose?
Right.
Drop the story. One of the first things that I share with folks is, you know, when we have children, we're, as a society, so many folks are worried about teaching that child in utero. And we teach them ABCs and 1, 2, 3s, often before they even arrive on the planet. And then we teach them how to spell. And those spells become their sentences. How many of us have memories about what our parents, siblings, and teachers assigned to us, right? The clumsy one, the stupid one, whatever, the smart one, the athletic one. And that becomes our sentence.
Right.
And our story.
Yep.
And then our history. And it's really not who we were at all. It's his story.
Right.
It's what we were assigned.
Yeah.
So really, at this point, from what we were assigned in this incarnation, what we are assigned by our ancestral baggage in the cell, you know, if we were that a natural awareness in the cellular memory is now beginning to notice that, there's a huge wave of change upon us.
Yes.
And that's where we're playing. And, you know, we all picked to be here at this momentous time on the planet, and we're in the ride for the ride of a lifetime.
Yeah.
And our soul is providing the direction, and that's why we are able to reprogram the body. Why I am really in awe of this place of people saying, well, the doctor told me I have this, and then as we support the clearing on a cellular level, and we ease the mental mind and the emotional mind can rest comfortably on trusting the information from the mental mind, the physical body goes, I feel good.
Yeah.
This is easy. This
yeah.
is this is not dis-ease, right?
Right. That's exactly right. See, it's right. Getting ourselves in tune, you know, the mental, the emotional, the physical, the spiritual, in alignment, and then just flowing from that space where, you know, and I realize, you know, that's like not the, you know, it's a simple truth, but it's not necessarily easy to obtain. I'm on, you know, many years of it's interesting. Many years of searching and seeking for a truth. Like when I had my awakening after 12 years of, well, I would say 12 years of doing drugs and alcohol, the last 8 really just really pounding my body with these substances. And when I awoke, literally going, okay, I want to know how the universe works. You know, my friends, they were pretty much new friends at that point, but they were like, excuse me? And I was like, no, this is information. I need to know how, you know, like, you know, wow, Goldie, you know, and I went to college, but for me, it wasn't, I didn't have academics. I'm an indigo. It wasn't going to happen through four walls and books. My mom died in 2000, and my sheer depression, and it actually took me lower than the cocaine or the alcohol ever took me. But what it did is it put me into the forest. And just being in nature, which was the only place that I really felt comfortable being, and I wasn't even comfortable in my own skin, but I didn't have a trust for people. I only trusted the forest. Those frequencies, literally, I mean, the trees have, anytime I'm confused, the trees untangle my energy. If I have quantum entanglements where,
you know, I'm empathic, and like you were saying, I'll get, you know, I'll connect with people on the phone where I'm starting to process my life through their processes, and I need to disconnect. I go to the forest. I have found that the ultimate panacea is not even, I don't have to ingest the forest. I just have to physically place my body in the midst of the trees. And these are trees anywhere. You know, I can have a forest here in New York. I have a clarity where I can feel it. I can feel my whole body opening up, and a wisdom. And it's what I call, the wisdom of life is not what quote-unquote science has been telling us. You know, and more and more scientists like Nassim Haramein and Bruce Lipton, you know, these people who are, and yourself, you know, where we're showing, you know, that the past has been, you know, the paradigms mm-hmm. that have been presented for centuries are just simply, they're just incorrect, you know, and you know, and exploring, you know, new ways of learning, because, you know, I think we should, you know, there is, I think there's a part of the population, I don't feel I'm alone, that just, like I said, being physically in the space of the forest, mm-hmm. the wisdom of life is becoming a part of my experience, because what it is I'm entraining myself to life uninhibited, life that doesn't have belief systems that are flipping it upside down and inside out. What are your feelings on
exactly.
that?
Exactly. Well, okay. Well, and there is a broader scope to all of us that we cannot see with the mind.
Exactly.
And when we, again, when we move into that place of stillness, a pure environment, mm-hmm. whatever that tool is for you, and we allow those bleed through moments, those moments when you know something you didn't, and when you are of service to yourself and things just flow. Again, you know, we're taught to try and control things. We've been controlled our whole life.
Exactly.
So trying to control things with the mind might seem right and sensible, but often it's really just the fear that forces us to. And I think a number one sign and a big part of what's going on societally is that when we're trying to force something with the mental mind, we're tired and we're exhausted.
Mm.
And then we stick to it and we feel that somehow we've got to put even more energy into it. And we think that we owe it to an organization or society or to ourselves. And we start to feel mentally and emotionally exhausted. We push it too far when we really just need to go to one of those quiet spaces for ourselves,
mm-hmm.
and to really let go of the world and turn within and cut the cords for just a few moments.
Yeah,
reconnect with your inner child, with that place of center and balance. And that's what nature does for you.
Yeah.
And when we do that, when we give ourselves permission to feel good, to recenter, to balance, to ground, that's when we really awaken. And that's when all of what we are starts to come back online. And that's when our physical body, our endocrine system can relax again. You know, we're societally always on, and so our endocrine system, our neurology is constantly in that place of fight or flight, and that's why we have all of these funky autoimmune diseases that no one knows what to do with, where the doctors, you know, tell you that you're somatizing it and they want to give you antidepressants or painkillers or whatever it is that they're doing. So, you know, you discovered quite naturally after years of trying to numb yourself,
mm-hmm.
that it's really just about going into yourself, about permission to be still instead of numb.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Neutral instead of numb.
Absolutely.
And that's,
yes.
that's what's available now, right? The natural awareness in the cellular memory, and we're getting there in waves as a society, and it's exciting and it's amazing. And this new era is filled with all kinds of new possibilities and potentials when we drop into permission to stop.
Absolutely.
How do I feel? And then the awareness that we can literally command, not demand, there's a big difference between the two,
okay.
Command our bodies into realigning. In that silence, in that place of quiet, we disconnect from the collective mind that is so full of fear and anxiety and trepidation.
Yes.
And we can remind ourselves that we're okay, that we have a choice, that we don't have to drop into the collective fear. And we're beginning to see very, very clearly, as science meets spirit, how everything is interwoven with everything else.
Exactly.
And if we're able to notice it, even when you're uncomfortable, you'll see the interrelationship. And Goldie, the freedom that comes with not getting caught in blame, shame, guilt, and obligation, and the ego in trying to fix everything around us. Mm. It's not about fixing anything. It's really about trusting that we alone create our environment on a soul level, on a physical level, and it's one huge ball of twine.
Mm.
And every energetic thread creates something else, somewhere else. So, in that place of solitude, your contribution to yourself and everyone you touch is huge.
Mm. That is a long journey. 'Cause, you know, one of my biggest fears, which is why I got so whacked when my mom died, was I had a fear of being alone, and she was always my buffer to the world. It really is amazing, because we were speaking, you know, briefly before the show started, how it's often, you know, really some dramatic and traumatic experiences that open up, you know, new paradigms and new belief systems and new ways of actually being in our own skin and being in the world, not of the world. And you know, it's part of the miracles. You know, even though I say miracles are science, that doesn't mean I understand it all. It really is, though, because I'm forever saying the power is in the center of the paradox, that, you know, so we can embrace the, you know, the shadow side of our lives, because it brings us to a space of new understanding. But, you know, it's the warrior's journey. You know, it is not for the weak kneed. you gotta be strong.
And maybe it really is the dismantling of that piece of we've got to be strong that's really bringing us forward now to, you know, most of my life I have been what I call the warrioress, and I have been alone, and the buck stopped with me, and I thought I had no option but to fight and be strong and to hold firm. And I really believe now that in these times, being vulnerable, as frightening as that may be, in the third dimension is really our greatest strength.
No,
that
I agree.
Place
right on.
Of
right on.
You know, when and it goes back to that holographic aspect of when we think that we have to defend, when we think that we have to explain, when we somehow have to convince. The reality is the world will always judge us, will always fight with us, because we're expecting it.
Right.
And we're always taught, right? I mean, there's even the movie In Pursuit of Happiness. Pursue happy. You know, be happy. And somehow when we're not, somehow we think that there's something maybe very wrong with us because, well, we've blown it. We're not happy.
Right.
We're not fulfilled. Our lives aren't perfect. You know, it's not Father Knows Best or the Brady Bunch.
Right, right.
We really, when we can accept, right, I think in the dictionary, love should say accept.
Yeah.
When we accept where we are, and we realize that we're gathering information and that there is really no good or bad, it's just information.
Mm.
And we go, oh, wow, that was wild information. And I don't want to feel that way ever again. And we make the conscious choice to not play in that arena anymore. And, you know, it goes along with emotional, physical and mental well-being. When we start to notice what makes us feel good and we give ourselves permission to make the choices on a regular basis to feel good, we no longer have to stand strong because we're honoring ourselves from the inside out and we naturally feel good.
Well,
so,
I agree, but don't you feel that on some level it takes a strength to just even be focused within? Like, you know, because like strength is one of those, right? It follows new. In other words, the strength to be vulnerable is still strength. You know, like there's a courage in vulnerability. Meaning, it's not a fighter. It's not a might is right
mm-hmm.
strength,
mm-hmm.
but it's an integrity and. Because
well, let's call it, yeah, a willingness to
okay.
be vulnerable, yet to have the courage to show our underbelly.
Exactly.
And to trust. Isn't
yeah.
it really more about trust and truth, that when we trust that there's nothing to fear? Fear is the killer, right? Fear is the killer in every regard.
It is, isn't it?
And yeah. when we stand in that place, and, you know, again, I have had a really remarkably funky life,
mm.
and I have explored everything from standing firm with the lowest, densest energies and watching a friend burn from an entity
mm.
and standing there in the trust that, not the strength, right? Strength becomes an attack point. I'm strong. And you can't get me, or I'm strong and I'll beat you.
Okay.
You know what?
Okay.
There's always something bigger and stronger out there.
Okay.
If you believe it, if you put your energy towards that, if you believe that somehow there's going to be a fight. So moving out of warrior and fight, and I've been there, trust me.
Well, I'm still here, so I'm very interested in what, you know what I'm saying? You're speaking really directly to me. I'm sure other people as well, but I'm very interested in what you're saying here, because... It is
well,
something
and you know,
that
the unraveling came for me, really, because I never really had a reference point for how strong I could be until I became a mom.
Right.
And it was this amazing sort of mom's club energy that showed up for me, like, you touch my kid, you're dead. You know, that
right.
was on the playground. If some other kid pushed him, I was like, I hate you. You know, that's the origins of that place of, you know, the lion mother protecting her cub.
Okay.
And my son taught me so much, my experience with my son, in that place of, because he is such an energetically sensitive being, we had an even more multidimensional and multicolored experience. And a big part of the early years was my belief system that somehow I had to protect and defend at all costs.
Mm.
And explain and define, you know, as he developed this autoimmune disease, and they didn't, you know, there was no answers, or so we were told,
okay.
within traditional treatments. But going back to that place of strength defending warrior, one day I realized, as I was trying to come up again with another another tactic, another plan to protect him from judgment and standards and a variety of individuals that were trying to define him. And I showed up for a meeting saying, you know what, I surrender. This is it. This is who we are. This is what works for him. I am not defending. I'm not going to convince you. This is simply the truth. And when I energetically dropped into that place of, this is simply the truth, you can take it or leave it. It doesn't matter. I am doing what I feel, what I have noticed, serves him in his truth. You know, Goldie, everything shifted.
Mm.
From that place of, you know, just the day before being afraid that they would, that the system would take him away from me, that the system would insist that he had to do something, whatever, you know, the multiple options were.
Right.
All of a sudden, everyone in the meeting was like, you know what? We trust that. Let's go with that.
Nice.
And that was my first awareness in not having to stand strong. And then the other part of it is, and I'm sure that you can relate to that, when you feel different, when you don't want to be on the planet, when you know people judge you because somehow you are energetically sensitive,
mm-hmm.
and you know that you're energetically sensitive, so you don't really want to show it, and so you know again you're putting out that energy. If I show you who I am, you're not going to like me,
right.
And guess what? They're not going to like you, or they're not going to get you.
Right.
When I came out of the energetic closet and I started to, you know, it was really more the corporate world where I would say to folks in a meeting, well, I know you had a fight with your wife last night, so, you know, why don't you try a little bit of honeysuckle oil around your ears and calm down and, you know, or I'd, you know, walk up to someone else and say, well, you know what, why don't you try this herb? I can tell you have a stomach ache or a headache, whatever it was.
Right.
You know, I used to whisper it and tuck it away, and, you know, it was fun because most of the people I traveled with were men, and, you know, we'd be on the plane and they'd come up to me and they'd say, did you bring the stuff? But they would laugh. You know, when I would try to share it in a conscious way, as soon as it didn't matter, as soon as I didn't try to convince them that this was going to work for them, it was just sort of that immediate acceptance. And I didn't have to be strong or hiding me anymore because I was being authentic.
Mm.
And when we're being authentic, we don't have to defend and be strong and fight. And the world starts to meet us in that authenticity and say, oh, wow, that actually feels really good. And when we're authentic, it means that we've accepted ourselves.
Right.
That's a lot of work, you know?
That's the work I'm talking about, my friend.
Over 5 decades of that, darling.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
exactly. It's really that place of if we accept who we are, we don't have to defend. And when we don't feel like we have to defend, we don't have to fight, and we won't be judged.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Right, thank you. Thank you.
And the body can relax, and then we feel good.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know, it's the battle in my own experience of my truth versus the beliefs that I know I've been, you know, there's still conditioned beliefs in me that I just simply have to continue. It's a daily practice to trust myself, you know, not to get,
yeah.
You know, and I believe it's here for all of us. And you know, on some days I'm surfing those waves. You know, I'm walking around and I feel fantastic, and I'm not worried that I don't have makeup on and what people think, and I'm not worried that, you know, I don't wear designer clothes in a very wealthy area where everybody wears designer clothes. You know, I wear ponchos and bandanas, and you know, it's an interesting look. And there are some days I'm beautifully in acceptance of that, and there are some days where, you know, it's just the inner turmoil of being at peace with who I am, you know, as a daily practice. So.
I feel and hear what you're saying. It is always the surrender. Because for me, the battle is always the warrior. I'm always trying to lean on the warrior. And the warrior is what, you know, got my ass kicked by 5 people on several occasions growing up.
Right.
You know, and
right.
It's like, I know that. It's just... You know, belief systems are insidious. They just have...
And you know, awareness is the first step. So, you know,
right.
That place of going, maybe I don't have to defend. And maybe, you know, I will get to the point where I won't even realize the separation
exactly.
of, well, this is how I dress in a world where no one dresses like that.
Yeah.
You know, of really making a bid for power and changing in a direction that serves you, and really, for all of us, you know, commitment is removing the back door.
Okay.
Commitment is getting rid of the escape hatch, and if and when behind that, and it's moving into, it's staying in this moment without looking back.
Yeah.
Without looking at where we were and what we had to do. Commitment is when we let go of worry and anxiety that comes with doubt or too much thinking.
Yeah.
And the other part of that is, you know, how many folks cross our paths that complain about relationship, either intimate or work or whatever, that somehow they're not happy doing what they're doing, it's not a good fit, they would like to do something else, but they stay and continue to do what they do until something better comes along.
Yeah.
And that's actually giving your power away, right?
Yeah.
It's not a serious bid for power for a new relationship or a new way of being. And that's not how spirit works. So, you know, that example shows the action that the universe reads as commitment, and it will never provide a better relationship, a better situation to take its place, because the action shows a commitment to the current one. So, even though we may think that somehow, you know, we're ready for change, it's really about being completely committed to changing the dynamics. And that's when the universe meets us. It's not about making time when things slow down or saying, I know I should go, I know maybe this or that. That's conditional. And true commitment is unconditional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you're speaking directly to me. I really feel you.
Are we okay? I, what's really interesting is I do a lot of group work, and I can feel just a lot of people that are listening in right now, and it's just really interesting.
You're beautiful, Jeanette. That was awesome.
It's just an honor.
Oh, you're beautiful. Right on, sister. Right on. I'm very... you went directly in. Do not pass go. Do not collect it. You just went straight in.
All right.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
Yes, and
that
you're worth
deep.
Committing to you completely, right?
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, you know, it's kind of neat, actually, when I sit with someone or with a group, I often share with people, it's kind of like, and I've never done acid. Maybe you and I need to talk about that.
Okay.
But it's what I have noticed on TV as what is described at that. You know, sometimes I'll see, you know, 20, 30 versions of the person across from me, and colors and layers, and, you know, we leave ourselves behind as we go through life. So,
okay.
You know, sometimes I'll see like 20 people to the right of the same essence.
Wow. Okay.
And what's really what is possible is collecting ourselves into being comfortable in all dimensions in a way of conscious choice versus this piece of, you know, the drama that we encounter in this incarnation and prior incarnations that bring us to the place of really manifesting a disease or an accident and having that interference and then really giving form to shape our events. And when we, I'm going back to commitment for a second, when we go into that place and we can distinguish from habits, and we move more into ritual. Ritual is a powerful thing because it reminds us every day of what we choose. You know, we've lost a lot of ritual and ceremony, but even just taking a moment every day to light a candle and to remind ourselves of how very powerful our Creator Self is and that we can choose, that in itself will redirect and support that place of surrendering the old habits. Yeah, and just knowing ourselves in the largest sense, in our bigness, mm-hmm. and realizing that we are the master of our own domain and that we're exactly where we should be. And that we have the ability to choose this moment as we see fit.
It's powerful. I'm going to light a candle right now. Oh. And it's such a beautiful life, isn't it? Remind me, it's a beautiful life.
It is a beautiful life, and you know, we all have that power of transformation, and as we harness these cosmic shifts, you'll see that just those very small steps of conscious choice, the changes, you'll notice them. You'll notice them in the most subtle and remarkable ways, and in very dramatic ways. And, you know, just breathe in this sort of acclimation in the body and be okay in your body. Mm. And integrate all of these amazing skills that you have already.
Mm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
It's very cool. You know, really all we're doing right now, Goldie, is creating sort of a space. It's just a space where, in our vulnerability, in your sharing, in my sharing, people can drop into that place of, yeah, it feels safe here.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're creating a place to explore and expand, to just take a deep breath. And that's a huge and remarkable gift to give to the world. Right? This is a place for folks to put away what they're not, to step into the awareness that they're big, a space to realize that you're worth committing to, and that we can put away all of the limitations and sentences and stories, the history that was never ours to begin with, and to really just drop into I am. I am, I have, I embrace. This is what I create.
I have my hand on my heart. I was just shutting my eyes, feeling into.
Good.
Yeah, I felt
felt apropos, definitely. You know, I had all these questions prepared for me, and here we are. You're helping me. I do so appreciate that.
It's my pleasure. It is. Yeah. And, I think we had posted a little bit about Life Lab and all of that, and it's really, I will tell you that my life has been my greatest laboratory.
Yeah, right on.
My experience in terms of the remarkable teachers that I've had, but then also it hasn't been a fairy tale. There's been a lot of drama, a lot of illness, a lot of complications, and again, that place of realizing that it's all just information.
Mm.
And that I think for a lot of us that are energetically sensitive, that are empathic, somehow there is that piece where we almost know others better than ourselves. You know, we sort of pick up on we're the barometers.
Mm-hmm.
How can we make them feel better? And so over the years, as I took on other people's pain and discomfort and became very, very ill many, many times, that became my life lab, because I finally started to understand, and this came from my own physicians and surgeons saying, you know, this doesn't make sense, Jeanette. In 2005, I had a really serious aha moment. My surgeon brought in an intern and said, yep, this is her. And I had just gotten over a stroke. I had bled out.
Wow.
And I was so ill. And I was the warrioress. I was going through huge changes in my life. And there was no way that I was going to succumb to admitting that I was ill.
Okay.
And I walked into the ER with a blood count of like 8.
Wow.
And so this doctor brings an intern in about a week after that episode and said, yep, this is her, the walking dead.
Yeah.
And I finally, in really intensely, since 2005, have realized that true spiritual guidance is not solving anyone else's problem or disease, that it really is very much that aspect of taking care of myself to create the space to others to recognize what that is.
Yeah.
And while I may be blessed with that piece of being able to see or smell or feel dis-ease, uncomfortableness in the body, and help people unwind it, mm-hmm. I realized I didn't have to do it for them anymore.
Mm.
And that's the heart energy. That's that energy of acceptance, of standing in front of someone and saying, oh,
no, it's all right. You're beautiful.
Of recognizing someone else's pain. And then empowering them.
Yeah.
Not doing it for them.
Yeah.
Touching their heart. Inspiring them with the energy of love. The energy of acceptance. And really just offering the energy of a solution and not doing it for them.
Yeah.
Not carrying them. It's about really just bringing the space of light and suggesting and saying, look, you can choose this. And while we might use a combination of foods and supplements and sounds, or sense, it is really that empowering energy of love and acceptance and showing that no matter where you think you are, because so many of us beat ourselves up when we're sick emotionally, physically, or spiritually, we didn't do anything wrong. We just decided to have a really uncomfortable experience to gather that information. And what I've discovered now with this life lab, which I would say probably really saved my physical life, I was approached by some doctors, and they said, look, we want to watch what happens to your body when you're working with people. And we developed, or we're still developing, systems that support me so I don't go through dropping into that discomfort. But it also accelerates on a vibrational level that realignment into ease and grace for the folks that come for that. And it's intense. But the bottom line is about being true to yourself, taking care of yourself, anchoring into that frequency of love, anchoring that into the earth, and not trying to control, not being stiff, not being a warrior, of saying, I understand I chose this, I forgive myself for the discomfort, and I realize that nothing is absolute, and that everything can be changed in a nanosecond when I choose that.
Right on, right on. See, this is why planning just doesn't work. It's going to happen the way it's going to happen. I really appreciate your sharing tonight. Yeah, there's so much going on in my life, and I hope the audience is, you know, and I know the audience is getting it, because from, you know, there are universal experiences I believe we're all going through on some level, because there's so much change happening.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not the only warrior here, and there's plenty of war. You know,
we're taught to fight, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And masculine, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, and stand up for yourself and speak up for yourself. And then, you know, the ego gets in the way. We feel that somehow we have to explain why we did what we did, be it good or bad. I did it because.
Right.
And then, you know, the mind goes into all that mental looping. And, you know, even when we love people and we think that we're helping them, and we're you know, and especially when you're empathic and you see what might support them, I think that was probably the biggest, most uncomfortable lesson for me with my son. You know, here I am trained as a naturopath. I am empathic, and I explored every vibrational modality under the sun, and, you know, I am blessed with people calling me from all over the world and saying, wow, I feel good, thank you. And my son was going through incredible pain and discomfort in his body, and he would say to me, you cannot help me. And until I finally understood that this was simply his experience, I can't even explain to you how painful that was and how angry I was with myself that I could not help him, and how much that essence showed through and how judged he felt by that place of my saying, try this, do this, do this, do this, in my fear that somehow I was less than and that I was not serving him. So when we love someone from that place of, if you do this and this and this to feel better, and they don't take our advice, right? Advice, that lovely word that I always remind people never to use, right? We advise to a situation.
Advice. Oh, wow. Okay, right on.
Right? If someone gives you advice, I always say run the other way.
Okay. Right. Okay.
If we ask for information, that's one thing. But, when we're offering something that wasn't asked, it's coming from a place of judging that they're not good enough.
Yeah, right on.
So we love someone. We say, please, do this and this. It's going to work. You'll feel better.
Right.
And then they don't take it, and then we get angry. So we're really not loving them from a place of accepting wherever they are right now. And that could be in the deepest, darkest, most depressed and painful state for us to observe. But if we sit there with them in compassion, right? Compassion, come pass on. Mm-hmm. We always think that somehow we have to fill in with words so we don't have those awkward silences. Really, truly, the greatest healing happens in that place of compassion and silence and true unconditional love and acceptance for, I see where you're playing right now, and I love you, and if you would like to move from that, and if you think that I can support you in that, you know what's going to work, and I accept you, then they can really accept help again, because they're not being judged and they're not angry that they're being judged and we're not feeling that we're being pushed away. Right? And that's all essence. That has nothing to do with words.
Right, right.
So, when we have conversations, when we become really conscious of that beautiful space between the words, the space between the notes, those little silences between sharing, that dimension of stillness and alignment and healing grows within us. And that's really the magical place to play. Just take a deep breath with me, Goldie.
Yeah, right on.
Just let that go. Yeah. So let's just create a little space for us.
Okay.
And for everyone that's on the call to hold this remarkable, dimensional space of nothingness. And let's just create sort of a bubble around us here of our own higher consciousness. And just see yourself stepping into that with your physical body. And let's give ourselves permission to organize ourselves for this stillness, this wonderful new energy that's available to us to come together in a way that's meaningful and practical and physical. And let's just see what wants to happen here as we create this space. And let's really get saturated in that. The physical body is completely saturated in that awareness. Nice deep breath in. And let that go. There. Allowing us to feel more comfortable in our physical reality, in the care of our physical body, allowing the mental mind to trust the information, to sense what feels right, to know the truth from the heart space, which gives the emotional body permission to rest. There we go. The endocrine system relaxes. And just open yourself to receive. There's absolutely nothing to do at all. Nothing to give. Just allow your core, there we go, to feel. And to trust that it's okay to be vulnerable. There we go. And to transmit the energy to your core, whatever that is, allowing you to feel grounded and present and aware. There we go. And just use your breath to really receive as much of that as possible. There we go. And finally, just creating a loving and common ground. There we go. With all you encounter. So that right there is recognition for the light to any and all individuals invited here, to those standing with us tonight, and to all they touch. There we go. One more big breath in, giving yourself permission to be connected. The core of your being and you. There we go. Very nice. We're holding this beautiful, large light. Thank you so much.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Me.
That was beautiful. Love is such a beautiful experience. Really. You know, I have to share that February 19th for the last 3 years has been a an auspicious day of a calendar day for me. And all day today I was I felt wonderful, but I was in my duality. There's always the underlying, I know I'll get through something, but I didn't have the aha or the breakthrough that I have had the last 2 years on this day. You know, I've met my higher self. I've traveled through wormholes to Andromeda on 1 year. Mm. Truly magnificent experiences. And what's so interesting is, you know, when we do the journey within, now I'm going to cry, when we do the journey within, it really is not necessarily about the bells and whistles and the big moments, but it's about the honest connection with self.
Yeah.
Because it's such the pivotal point. You have to be there to go anywhere else. You know, you don't have to be there, but by being there, it allows the trust, it allows the vulnerability, it allows the soft underbelly to take form. Because if I'm not connected to myself, I'm still relying on warrior because I don't feel safe.
Yeah.
So that was really beautiful. I have not had a meditation experience on my show in a few years, and I love the spontaneity of it. It was so on point, and it was beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Really.
Thanks for allowing that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
We have to have you on again so I can get to the things, the questions.
That we wanted to talk about. Yeah, my other various incarnations, yes.
Yeah, well, you're a plethora, I can tell. You're beautiful, and I love your ability to just, you just went where the energies were, were guiding this to go, and I always appreciate people that can, that have a fluidity in their being. Because of their in tune with, because this is life, you know, this is, it's a radio show, but life trumps my radio show.
I love that about you, yes, and it would be wonderful to come back and share, and
oh,
yes.
Wonderful. I feel that as well. We still have 15 minutes, so, I mean, I don't want to force the show. I'm always open. You know, we don't have to go 15 minutes, but I definitely want you to share where people can find you, how to read your work. You have books. Share.
So, I Am Sam is really just our first book, and we're just taking it to publishers now.
Oh, okay.
I started the Facebook page, I Am Not Sam, because I do work with so many children and parents, and I was really sort of playing with how do I share the information of our experience before we actually go to press. It's the first 17 years of my son's life, of my experience in being the mother of this really remarkable energy, and last year, as we were completing this, was the most pivotal in his entire 17 years, because we started to really understand his three incarnations and what, I would say, his experience is very much what's happening in the world today. He came in as this remarkable light being that could touch butterflies and bring them back into life, to exploring the deepest, darkest energies of the planet, and he has a condition that's called PANDAS, which is pediatric autoimmune dysfunction associated with strep. It sort of crept into our lives when he was 5, and the acronym is so perfect because PANDA, black and white, and exploring total purity and this extreme polarity of the densest energies I've ever encountered, it took me quite some time to really understand how to support him. And this final year, he dropped into really the marriage of those dualities, and what we share is the first 17 years of his life as an autobiography, and what we will be sharing is are the various modalities, awarenesses, and energies that we've come to realize brings comfort emotionally, physically, and spiritually to energetically sensitive beings and these new kids. And so we're in the process of creating the website for that. The origins of how I share what I do corporately and with individuals and physically on the Life Lab, probably the best representation of that is my is the blog, which is just JeanetteWolf@WordPress.com. And then the corporate website is Planet Apothecary, www.planetapothecary.com. And those are wonderful representations of the different services that I share. And there's information on the Life Lab there, and there's information about vibrational repatterning and all the alternative therapies. So
vibrational repatterning, may I ask, what is and how do you like infuse that or whatever?
Vibrational repatterning, how can I explain that? It's essentially, when I hear someone's name and birth date, I don't see them in their physicality. I simply feel a frequency like a radio wave.
Okay.
So really, everything, all interaction is really vibration. And that's what holds our physical forms together, and that's what forms the way that we connect to each other. And active vibrational restructuring is supportive in shifting what we think is absolute, or situations that cause us disease, discomfort, distress. And it's really focus, intention, clearing out the blocks. Most of the work that I do now is phone and Skype. I do occasionally meet people in person.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I mean, energy is
right.
Energy, vibration is vibration.
Right.
We don't even really have to talk. I only talk on the sessions so that people think that they're you know,
so
that the information is coming in.
Of course.
You know, and often I will offer silent sessions, and so the vibrational restructuring is really that place of supporting conscious choice to align with ease and grace and peace and wellness. Well, you know, we're all well beings.
Right.
We just don't really realize that. And, you know, this word disease, or I have a disease, it's really just, you know, a misalignment is dis-ease within the physical form. So active vibrational repatterning is informing the form that there's a choice to be well.
Right on.
And it's really, it's quite remarkable to see in moments often what can shift.
Oh yeah.
So,
teach the kids that I work with, even though it's an interesting dynamic because the parents don't support it, but I when they were kids, I would tell them whenever they got hurt to say, "I am a field, I am healed."
Oh, I love
because,
that.
Yeah, well, because I really recognized if it was still a field, you can repattern it. And if I you know, hit my toe in the middle of the night, I've done it so often that I don't say ow. The first thing I say is pristine. And that tells my body go back to the pristine. And I've cut my hand opening up a bagel. And you know, I've literally seen it right before my eyes, the platelets, where it stops bleeding. And by the end of the day, like, I remember I had a tennis thing, and I went, I don't know. It was closed. I mean, it wasn't, the skin wasn't completely closed, but the inside skin had already formed new skin. In the time that it would, like, it was what I call baby time. You know, infants have a very fast healing. And I said, if an infant can do it, there's no reason why I can't have it. Just acknowledge that I have it. And I tell my kids all the time, you know, when they cry or, you know, if they I am a field. And they'll look at me and go, I am a field. But you can also see the dynamic of, they also understand that if they get better, unfortunately, they don't get the kind of attention from their parents that, you know, it becomes the whole dynamic of when I'm not feeling good, they do comfort me because they don't get it when they're healthy. You know, the physical, you know, we'll speak privately.
Well, you see, and that's our choice point, right? And that's just it. That's the dynamic of the family. That's, you know, the dynamic and the makeup on a karmic cellular level of, you know, what do I really need? Do I need that extra attention? Do I choose to be healthy and well?
Exactly.
Or do I choose to manipulate others by not being well? And will those around me drop into that manipulation, right? There's all kinds of agreements. So that's the other fun part about the alternative therapies and the active vibrational and reformatting the path, because, you know, there are so many layers. There are contracts and agreements and fealties and all of these things that we come in to play out with each other until one of us or both of us or all of us, whoever made the agreements, decides that they're not playing that way anymore.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And when I work with folks, you know, that come to me and they say, you know, I'm on my third relapse of cancer.
Oh.
And, you know, why am I not doing better? And then there are people who, you know, without any kind of traditional medical modality do really well simply by choosing food supplements and changing their lifestyle.
Right.
You know, we look at those aspects. We look at the agreements. We look at that place of, you know, what do you believe in? And how do we really support that? You know, do we really need medicine? If you believe that medicine is going to work, then it's going to work. You know, have you made an agreement to suffer? Let's really look at that. So,
yeah.
You know, that's that place of really looking at that unconscious cellular memory, ancestral baggage, all of those pieces. But, again, nothing is absolute. There is no such thing as...
Right.
as
the cards you're dealt, the cards you got to play.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, it's pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, very powerful. You're a beautiful being. You really are. Thank you for being on my show February 19th this year. Thank you for that experience.
It's really an honor to know that that's the day it worked out for. Yes.
Yeah.
Super.
Yeah, I feel... You've given me a lot to contemplate, and I feel I'll be in touch. I'll let you know how it shows up. Cause
sounds good.
Yeah, thank you.
All right,
thank you.
My pleasure. Well, big cyber hugs to you and
thank
everyone
you.
Who listened.
Yeah, back at you.
And lots of love.
Thank you so much, Jeanette. And I
all
will.
Right.
I'll be in touch, and we'll definitely look forward to having you back on the show. Definitely.
Sounds great.
Yeah, I'm very curious about you.
Super. All right.
All right.
Have a wonderful night. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Good night, everyone. Bye.
Have a great night. Bye now.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments? Email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.